Hello everyone and welcome to another episode of That Digipod. As you know, my name is Dipesh. I'm a digital product owner here at BT and your host for this session. Now, everyone knows this podcast is all about products, people and culture. But how do you get that and blend that all together? How do you keep people motivated and supportive? Well, I'm joined by one of the world's most renowned coaches, Stacey Holland from Stacey Holland Coaching.
Hi, I'm Stacey.
Stacey, how's it going?
Really good, thank you.
And we're here today in our new office of One Braham.
Yeah, it's so nice.
Yeah, it's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, so good. Just admiring the views of the gherkin out the window. Yeah, pretty
special. Lovely views, exactly that. So Stacey, I just want to know from you, what made you want to go into coaching? Where was your passion for it?
It's quite a big question. I think we've all got our kind of stories to tell, haven't we? So, I mean, I had a bit of a penny drop moment because I'd been on a bit of a personal journey, and it was a few years ago, and I'd moved over to Dubai for a job over there, and it ticked so many boxes. It was just, you know, it was a VP position in a leading telecoms company, fantastic package, great lifestyle opportunity, you know, running an enormous team that was only going to get bigger and transformation, etc. So like tick, 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 you know, on paper, like all the good stuff. And I kind of got there and I had a slight trepidation, like I just had a slight feeling. I kind of pushed it away and I kind of ignored it. And I was like, no, this is what you asked for. And this is amazing opportunity. So let's do it. And then whilst I was there, I just started kind of getting these like niggles and feeling of being uncomfortable. And in the sense of just feeling a bit empty and a little bit lost, and not in what I was doing, not the job, but just in myself. And so I mean, a kind of series of events of me kind of feeling into where this emotion was sort of coming from, you know, having bad days where my health would be suffering, and this kind of pattern occurring over time. To cut a very long story short, we can go into it more, you know, if you want to, of course. But I had some coaching and some support, and through that, I was able to reconnect with what I really wanted to do and what my passion was. And actually, it goes right back to being a kid where, you know, 6 years old me was teaching all her teddies in her bedroom. And I just went right back there and I was like, I always wanted to be a teacher. I realized that through my career, the things I'd enjoyed the most had been people development, mentoring, coaching, even though I didn't know that's what I was doing. I was naturally doing it. And it was all about people. It was all about teams. And so I just chose in that moment to explore what that might look like for me. And then the coaching training kind of came from there. But it really was reconnecting to a purpose, my purpose.
Yeah. So your coach helped you find your happy place again after being in a bit of a rough situation.
Exactly that. Yeah. And, you know, and it was absolutely, coaching can turn you inside out, and often it does. The transformational coaching really encourages you to go to the places that you really don't want to go, because that's where things have to come away. They have to fall away. They have to be seen in order for you to actually get to the really good bit, the juicy bit, the fun bit, the fulfilling bit that says, this is what I'm worthy of, this is what I'm deserving of, this is what I really want to do, and I believe I can. So it was a process of kind of stripping away some of the things that the barriers I'd put up over the years that said, yeah, but I'm in a really good job. Like, yeah, but everyone's really proud of me. Like, yeah, but I'm providing, you know, for my family here. Like, why would I rock the boat? And then it was just once I allowed myself to remove all of that, you know, in a very safe space, held by the coach, supported by the coach, which is what coaches, really good coaches, do very well. I felt very safe and able to explore it. Once I allowed that to go to the side and see what it was that really lit me up and made me happy, then I was able to start to take kind of small steps, aligned action to change my course.
Nice. And you mentioned there about what a good coach does. What do you think a good coach is about, and what would make a good coach? Is it tailored to individuals?
Such a good question. So there is so many different types of coaching, but the very core of coaching is about helping clients to see where they're at now with absolute transparency, absolute honesty, really look at their current situation, and looking at that against the vision that they've got for the future. So it could be a goal in like 12 months' time, or it could be a complete like vision and dream for life that feels like further off in the future, but it's helping to kind of get the clarity there. And then understanding what it's going to take to go from where you are today to achieving that goal and achieving that vision. So a good coach will walk that path with you with compassion and understanding, with very strong and clear communication, with curiosity, always asking why, going, you know, holding you going into the really fun parts, the exploratory parts, as well as the shadow parts that I just mentioned before.
Yeah.
Encouraging their clients to have real courage, because this work like often requires courage. So I think, you know, these are all the things that help. I've probably missed. I just realized they're all C's, aren't they? And there's probably another one in there somewhere. But I think, you know, compassion and creativity, yeah, curiosity, you know, these are really like really important cornerstones of coaching.
Yeah. And how do you build out trust with people as well? Because it's really a personal thing between a coach and someone who they're coaching. I've only ever had a example sort of within like sports teams, really, but I don't know what, like in the business sense of, or even potentially a life sense, you know, how do you build that trust up?
In my experience, trust is built through when somebody realizes that you really truly see them for who they are, and they feel safe being held, and you allow and support the conversations to be completely open, and when the client knows they can, really can say anything that they want to, it's a totally open and safe space. This for me is where trust is built. And coaches have they have to encourage as well a really healthy dose of accountability. So a coach is not a therapist, you know, who looks kind of back to the past and helps you kind of unpick. A good coach will help you to understand key pivotal moments in your past that are influencing how you view yourself and your world today. But they very much focus on what do we need to do to move forward. So trust is also gained by helping that person to get clear on what's the next step they need to take, holding them accountable to that next step and walking that path with them. So it's all of those things blended together.
Yeah. And do you think in today's world that people don't have maybe enough coaching, or do you think that, you know, it depends, it's more of a line manager responsibility?
Both.
Yeah.
is there enough coaching that happens in corporate? No. Just in my opinion, not at all. I think it is something that is still made available to a select few or a few teams at times when it's really needed. And, you know, coaching is incredibly powerful through times of change, through times of conflict, when, you know, teams pivot, strategy changes, you know, can be incredibly impactful then. But, you know, I would love to see coaching kind of being democratized, if you like, and available, yeah, like throughout the organization for people at all levels. So for that reason, I think absolutely make coaches and coaching available to people who need it at certain times and for certain reasons. But if every line manager and even peers were able to have the right conversations with their direct reports, with their teams, you know, with their buddies in a coaching way, you just naturally and organically would create a coaching culture where people feel like everything that they are striving for and that they are is important to them really matters, because that's the key. You know, a good coach will hold that space for you, will make you feel, and back to the trust point, like, yeah, you're the most important person. Like, that is like, because you really do truly matter, and it's just about you in that moment. So if a line manager can learn the skills to open up, like I said earlier, like some of those C's, right? So being curious, you don't need training to know how to ask good coaching questions and just to be there. So first of all, you just be there, you know, when somebody needs a conversation, or you use your emotional intelligence to pick up on when somebody is reaching out for help, even if they're not saying it, right? They'll send you signals, you know, that things aren't 100%, and you'll just know. If you're in tune with your people, you'll just know. So, you know, curiosity, be really open with your communication. Ask questions like all the time, you know, and coaches aren't there to solve problems in the sense of giving answers.
Yeah.
So if you want more of that, then it's more of a mentoring role. So mentors tend to bring, and I do mentoring as well, you tend to bring your experience in and you guide and people come to you in a bit more of a, can be a bit more Q&A focused. Whereas coaching is inherently knowing that the person in front of you has already got all the answers inside of them. All they need is somebody to ask the right questions to help answer those. So if everybody was able to know how to ask the right questions, which start with simple things like, how are you really, you know, and what's happening for you today, you know, and we talk about personal development conversations, which at best happen, I don't know, like a couple of times a year. There's a lot happening to try to create more momentum in this area, which is really good.
Yeah.
But actually, you can sit and have, you know, a cup of tea and a conversation on a Wednesday afternoon, completely unscripted and unplanned, and just say to somebody, where are you at today? You know, yeah. And that's so important.
Yeah. And a couple of points I picked up there was, you know, the word coaching culture. I absolutely love that as a phrase. And I'd love to see more people sort of go out of their way. And you don't need to be a coach, right? You could be anyone, you know, anyone could partake that wisdom onto someone else. And, you know, having sort of a bravery to go and do that as well is something that, you know, I certainly would like to take forward. And it sounds like, you know, you've tried that within your teams that you've had as well. So that's really, really interesting. Stacey, I want to talk a little bit about habits, and, you know, we talked about that coaching culture there, but how can people go about doing that? Because people will be listening to that, this thinking, this is all great, but how can I implement it? What are my techniques? You know, what are the habits that I can do to help others?
I would say in the interest of being of service to others and helping others, the best thing that you can do is understand where you are at. So how can you ensure that you're at your best, and that actually on those days when you're not having such a good day, because we're all human, right? So we have good days and we have not so good days, and we can't be in that kind of joyful, playful energy like all of the time. It's not possible, you know, especially women, right? We're cyclical. So you're going to have different times of the month where things feel a little bit harder, because that's just how it is. So how do you lean into for yourself in that day, how you're feeling, and create a routine and habits around self-care? And I use that in a really powerful way, you know? So I don't mean that in the sense of, you know, hashtag self-care, although I use hashtag self-care, but like, I don't mean it. It's like in a kind of, it's not a fluffy way. It's absolutely essential. So it's absolutely essential that you take care of yourself and that you know that you are in good health mentally and physically. So for me personally, like, I know that I need movement. So I'll get out for a walk, or I'll do yoga, or I'll do like a movement class, which is literally just, I mean, it looks a bit nuts, but it's incredible. Like, where you just shake off like bad energy stuff that needs to leave your body. I know that, you know, my time of genius in the day is not after 3 p.m. So I don't put anything difficult in the back end of my day. I know that when I'm feeling anxious or worried or stressed, if I come back to my breath, it is the most powerful tool that I've got available to me to just kind of calm me and center me down. So there are, you know, there's routines like I journal all the time. Things come up for me and I sit down, I'll journal, or I'll meditate. So I'm quite rooted in habits and practices that mean that I'm aware of where I'm at every day. And I know that when I do that, I can be full, right? So we talk about when you fill your cup, right? So you can't give to somebody else if you're feeling empty. And we do, right? And I've done it myself an awful lot in my lifetime, you know, giving. And I still have to consciously remind myself, and I think we all have that, right? Like I said earlier, we're human and it happens. But if we can try to remind ourselves that the most important thing we do is take care of ourselves first, so that we're full, then we can be of service to others and we can give from our overflow, right? We can give from, and we are happier for it. And actually we're of better, we can just be more helpful for other people from that place as well.
Amazing. And I want to talk a little bit about your personal mentality and your mindset. And when you get a coach to, you know, change that negative to a positive, how can people go through that journey? How can you switch your mindset? Because you need to be willing to accept that change yourself, right? You can't just lay it all on the coach. It has to be a lot on you as well.
Yeah. So this is the, in coaching language, it's negative beliefs, limiting beliefs, shadow work. It's whatever, you want to use. But going from that negative mindset or that limiting mindset into a positive mindset is certainly a process. And the most impactful thing that will help you through that process is accepting and choosing to go through it. So it's kind of saying, those moments where I know where I am today and I know where I want to get to. And what a coach will do is say to you, okay, so like, what's stopping you? You know, why? And then through that work, you start to identify, well, you know, and then all the reasons come out, like, I don't feel like I'm worthy of, having that opportunity, or I don't believe I can make more than this amount of money, or, I don't feel that my family situation will allow for me to, go and take an opportunity over here. Or there'll be mindsets that we have from childhood. A lot of this is embedded in us from a very young age. And some of it is very ancestral as well. So you'll notice we say things and we catch ourselves and go, God, that was like my mum used to say that, or my dad used to say that, right? That doesn't even belong to me. Why am I saying it? Yeah. And you'll find it didn't even belong to them. They'll have picked it up from before. But things like, here's a great one, money doesn't grow on trees, right? So actually, how damaging is that? Because money doesn't grow on trees instills in you a limiting mindset that there's only a certain amount of money that's available to you. Now, who says, right? The universe is limitless. So why would you cap your belief that you can only make a certain amount of money? Nobody is telling you that apart from yourself. So we'd sit and kind of go, right, well, this is a negative mindset that's stopping you from living a life of abundance, prosperity, right? And actually, it's okay to want to make more money. It doesn't make you selfish. It actually means that you can fuel a lifestyle that makes you feel happy and fulfilled. Maybe it fuels your values around adventure and freedom, and you can travel and you're in your best place, you're living your best life, and you can do your best work, and you will radiate and you will help more and more people by coming from this place when you're full up. So these are the types of things that we would work through, is firstly identifying what's holding you back. You know, what are those negative beliefs that you've got? And how do we methodically go through them one by one? Where did they come from? Why do you believe that? And how we go around turning the ship on those so that you begin to look at them differently. And actually, some of the most powerful work is literally where we just eradicate them. And sometimes they pop up again, right? Because we have the duality of love on one side and soul on one side and fear and ego on the other, right? And we want to be in this lovely, like, shiny place where we feel like incredible, which is like, this is a place of love and soul. And when we're in our best place, we're like, yeah, life is great, I feel amazing, you know, it's light, it's brilliant. And then what can happen is that, like, fear will just like pop up behind you, like tapping you on the shoulder and say, yeah, but remember that belief that you've got that you're not really worthy of this. And what happens then is that people can do, and actually there's a really great chapter in Gay Hendricks' book, Big Leap, around this, which is where we kind of, he talks about our upper limit. So there's like, we allow ourselves to kind of cap and just go, no, don't get too big for your boots. You can't kind of go beyond there. And you know, this is the, when we have to kind of say, all right, I see the fear, and I see the kind of ego chipping in to kind of have its say, but it doesn't get to run the show, right? I choose to come from a place of, you know, feeling like I'm worthy and deserving of what I desire. So therefore, fear, thank you for helping me to see the things I still need to work on clearing, because they'll continue to come up. Or maybe there'll be like, you just need to be aware there's like, you know, there's a potential bump in the road over there. Okay, great. So thank you for letting me know and be aware. But you don't get to kind of drive the car. There's another analogy in a brilliant book called Big Magic, where she talks about like love is driving the car and fear is in the passenger seat. And it's like, because fear is trying to get control of the sat nav, and love is kind of saying, no, I drive the car. I choose the direction. You get to let me know whether or not there's a diversion up the way that I need to be aware of, but you don't get to drive the car, right? You get the story. So yeah.
That's awesome. And you've taken that leap, right? You've gone from a job to starting your own business now within coaching. You mentioned earlier on, you know, leaving the job potentially in Dubai, and then, you know, you've overcome, you know, that fear, and you've been through that process yourself, right? So you can like fully tell that it's worked out for you, and you're going into this new adventure right now. And we've had a chat a little bit about this before, but you don't seem scared about it. You're more excited to, you know, ready to go.
I have been absolutely terrified.
You don't show it, and that helps.
Do you know, I tell you why, because I've done so much work with coaches to really face into the things that have been holding me back. And I remember saying, even it just a year ago, when I started working with the coach I work with now, and I said to her, I think, you know, I'm feeling like I want to lean more and more into coaching. So I just want to work out, like, how do I do that as well as do my, you know, product director job? How do I do the two together? How do I bring coaching more into my role? And actually what I realized not long after that was I was hiding from what I really wanted to do, which was just coach. But to admit that to myself was really scary, because it meant throwing away the safety net and the blueprint of how I'd done things for 20 years, 20 plus years. So, and I spent months and months working. And again, this is why I'm such an advocate for coaching, because I had somebody who held me through the whole process right there with me, saying, like, I was the one who admitted it and said, actually, this is what I really want to do. This is just what makes me really happy. And this is, I believe I can really help and be of impact to many, many people. So I want to do that. That's my, I choose that. I now decide and I now choose that. Oh God, like, in order to kind of get there. And like I say, it's keep facing into the worries, keep facing into the fears. There is never, ever, ever an absence of fear. There's just a mastery of it. There's just an understanding of when it comes up, how do I work with it? You know, I journal on it. I write a letter from love saying, this is everything you want. This is everything you desire. This is everything you're worthy of. And this is why you're here. And then I'll write a letter from fear, all the things that fear wants to say, basically, that's holding me back. And then I'll go, thank you, but I choose not to be there. Thank you for having your say. I choose to be in this place over here. And I just keep going. So it's constant work in progress. And I find every time I up level and take another step forward, it's not that long before like fear comes up and goes, oh, wait, hold on. I just have to keep working on it. But.
Yeah, exactly. And without you knowing it, you know, you've been coaching, whether it's subconsciously, like just through different variations of jobs for the last how many other years
really
anyway,
long time.
Right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
So you've got that strong foundation. And I want to know, you know, throughout the whole of your career, especially sort of within the coaching world, what have been your key learnings for anyone who's listening to this now that wants to know, like, the Stacey Holland key learnings that you've taken away?
My key learnings, really, I think the top one is when you feel that niggle, I'm going to call it a niggle, you could call it like whatever you like, but there is a voice that you will hear in one way or another. It will speak to you, you'll feel it in your body, it will be because you repeatedly get ill, it will be a nudge or a whisper or something. When you feel it, and you will know that uncomfortable feeling, some people feel it in their tummies, that you're just not happy and fulfilled, listen to it. That is literally like the most important thing that I can say, because, and I'm not saying this to be like, listen to it and go leave your corporate job. I'm saying that was that, you know, that's my path and it is the path of many others. But for a lot of people as well, it's listen to it. What can you do differently in your situation today? You know, like, how can you show up to work differently with a different mindset, clearer on what it is that you want tomorrow, so you can go on and be successful and secure that promotion, et cetera, et cetera. So it's different for all of us. The most, yeah, beyond a shadow of doubt, it's like when you hear that and you feel that, don't ignore it, because it just will come back and come back and come back. And like me, like this time last year, I mean, I was signed off work for a month with exhaustion and anxiety because I'd pushed it away and pushed it away and pushed it away. And then just got to a point where my body just stopped completely. And just, it was literally like the universe was saying, now I want you to listen.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want for anybody to get to that point. And that was a pattern for me over quite a few years where I would fall ill, and then I would stop and reassess, and I'm not particularly healthy. So I'm hoping that time has passed. But I still feel it myself, you know, I'll still get like a feeling of, you know, I won't feel 100%. I'll be like, what is it that I need to look at? You know, it's all like our bodies are like the biggest kind of compass for us in terms of what is it that I need to listen to now. So I would say above and beyond everything else, it's just when you feel it and you hear it, you'll just know that's the time. You've got just, you know, face into it, be brave.
Yeah, you've got the power to change, right?
Have the
power to change. So Stacey Holland Coaching is now up and running, right?
Yes, yeah.
Tell me a little bit about it, because you've got your own website now, you've got your own Instagram page, and your LinkedIn post the other day absolutely went massively viral, probably you could say that. So very exciting stuff coming up.
Oh, so exciting. So yeah, I do. So website is stacey-holland.com and Instagram page is up and running, which I love actually, because it's like a really... it's such a fun place to kind of post and kind of engage with people as well. And LinkedIn, I just kind of got LinkedIn rolling, like you say, at the end of last week, and popped up a video about my journey and what I'm doing now. And the response has been like phenomenal in terms of the views I've had and the number of people who've responded and asked for discovery calls. Just, you know, I think this is the power of this work is... every single one of us has a story to tell.
Yeah.
Every single one of us has got the power to impact and help somebody else. And that is, if I can do that with just one person, then I'm full up and I'm happy. What I'm starting to see already, I mean, I set my business up in earlier in 2021, and it's just been gaining momentum. So yeah, big things ahead, super exciting. So I have I take on private one-to-one clients and I do tailored programs for them. And my style of coaching is I will use the learnings from my own experience. I will use tools and techniques that probably fall in the camp of traditional coaching, but I'm also an intuitive coach. So I will use my intuition as well to guide me in terms of what I feel that my clients need. And I'll use tools like numerology, which is incredibly impactful as well. So I kind of fuse together a few different things, and I call myself a soul-led leadership and life coach. It's for that reason exactly, which is that, you know, we sit together and we just connect into what is it that your soul really truly wants. And so, and it is, I mean, I love it. It lights me up so much. So there's private one-to-one coaching. I ran a workshop last week. I've got another one masterclass coming early December. I'm going to be launching a leadership coaching program for a group shortly. There is so much coming through. It's just rolling and rolling. Like I can't catch the ideas quick enough. So there'll be opportunities to work in groups as well as kind of one-to-one coaching, because I do love the team vibe as much as I love the impact one-on-one. So yeah.
Awesome. So much exciting stuff going on. I'm looking forward to seeing what happens.
Thank you.
Make sure you all check out Stacey Holland Coaching, and all the latest episodes of That Digipod are available on all good streaming services. Stacey, thanks again.
Thank you.